Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. Call the meeting to order. We have Jenny, Marie, Daniel, and myself chairing, and Kirby is excused on approved travel. We're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
So move.
Motion made by Marie.
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? See none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the April 6, 2022 LOC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee.
So move.
Motion made by Jenny. Marie.
Seconded by Jenny.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Current business, the Elder Assistance Program Law. Clarissa.
This item starts on page 4 of your packet. The request for the LOC to develop a new Elder Assistance Program Law was brought forward by Councilman David Jordan based on a recommendation from the Chief Financial Officer during the October 20th, 2021 LOC meeting. So the request asked the LOC to consider developing a new law to establish an approved program under the Oneida General Welfare Law, which transitions the nation's elderly 65 and plus per capita payment distribution fund from being utilized for per capita payments to being utilized for general welfare assistance payments for elders. So on November 3rd, 2021, the LOC added the Elder Assistance Program Law to its active files list. Since that time, the LOC has held 8 work meetings and has collaborated with representatives from the Oneida Law Office, the Trust Enrollments Department, the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee, and Finance to work on the development of this law. So the purpose of the Elder Assistance Program Law is to establish the Elder Assistance Program to govern how the nation provides financial assistance to elders pursuant to the principles of general welfare exclusion. So it's the policy of the nation to prioritize the general welfare needs of its elders. The nation recognizes that its elders possess unique and irreplaceable stores of knowledge, skill, culture, and experience that enhance and enrich the lives of every member of the nation. The interests of the nation are advanced when its elders remain confident that their general welfare needs can be met. So the Elder Assistance Program Law will establish the Elder Assistance Program as an approved program of the nation in accordance with the Oneida General Welfare Law, provide how this program qualifies for general welfare exclusion, provide the eligibility requirements for accessing assistance from the program, which is that a person is a member of the nation, age 65 or older, and submits a completed application during the designated submission timeframe. The law will provide the minimum requirements for the information that must be included on the application. It will provide how and when funds from the Elder Assistance Program are disbursed. It will provide for the types of expenses that will be considered qualifying expenditures for use of assistance from the Elder Assistance Program by the recipient. And the law will provide information on the funding source and who determines the amount of available funding to an eligible participant. And the law also provides the department that has the responsibilities to administer the program. So on March 2nd, the LOC accepted the initial draft of the Elder Assistance Program Law and deferred it to a work meeting for further discussion based on additional input that was received from both the general manager and the Trust Enrollment Department director. On March 10th, the LOC considered all input that was received and made some updates to the law. On March 16th, the LOC approved the updated draft of the law and directed that a legislative analysis be completed. So the legislative analysis can be found on page 7 of your packet. The legislative analysis is a plain language analysis describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the LOC to make informed decisions regarding the legislation. So the legislative analysis summarizes the law in plain English and provides additional background information on the development of the law, the legislative process, consultation and outreach, how this law relates to existing legislation, as well as other considerations for the LOC to make. So now that we have a draft and a legislative analysis completed, we can move on to the next step of the legislative process, which is scheduling a public meeting. So starting on page 6 of your packet, you'll find the public meeting packet, which we are hoping the LOC will approve today. The public meeting packet starts with the public meeting notice. So this notice will be published in the May 4th, 2022 Gully Weesox edition, and the whole public meeting packet will be placed online on the Oneida Register and electronically provided to all managers, directors, and supervisors of the nation. So this public meeting will be held on Wednesday, May 18th, 2022, at 12:15 PM right here in the Norbert Hill Center's Business Committee Conference Room. People can also attend the public meeting through Microsoft Teams. For anyone who's unavailable to attend the public meeting, written submissions or comments or questions will be accepted until the close of business on Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. So written comments can be submitted to the Nation Secretary's Office or the Legislative Reference Office. So the next document in the public meeting packet, starting on page 7, is the legislative analysis, and that's followed by the draft of the proposed Elder Assistance Program Law on page 11 of your packet. So today, I'm asking the LLC to consider the adoption of a motion to approve the legislative analysis and public meeting packet and forward the Elder Assistance Program Law to a public meeting to be held on May 18th, 2022.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Jenny, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? See none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Moving on to the United Nations Gaming Ordinance Amendments, Clarissa.
This item starts on page 15 of your packet. The Oneida Nation Gaming Ordinance, often referred to as ONGO, regulates all gaming activities under the jurisdiction of the Oneida Nation and is intended to govern the gaming activities of all person, gaming employees, consultants, business entities, vendors, boards, committees, commissions, and hearing bodies. So on December 2nd, 2020, the LOC added ONGO to the active files list per a November 10th, 2020 directive from the Oneida Business Committee that it be added to address a concern raised by the Oneida Law Office over the placing of the Gaming Security Department within the nation's organizational structure found under Section 501.9-2 of ONGO. So more specifically, the concern is that the placement of security under the Oneida Police Department has given rise to certain legal claims that could expose the nation to unnecessary litigation costs, regardless of merit or prevailing party, if not disposed of in an expeditious manner. So based on this concern, the LOC decided to bring forward emergency amendments to Section 501.9-2 of ONGO by temporarily reassigning security to the Oneida Business Committee, while a more appropriate permanent placement is developed and vetted within the period of time allowed for emergency amendments to be in effect under the Legislative Procedures Act. So the emergency amendments to ONGO were adopted by the Oneida Business Committee through the adoption of Resolution BC 51221D. So these emergency amendments were originally set to expire on November 12th, 2021. So on November 10th, 2021, the Oneida Business Committee adopted Resolution BC 111021A, which extended the emergency amendments to ONGO for an additional 6-month period effective November 12, 2021. So the Legislative Procedures Act allows the Business Committee to extend emergency amendments for an additional 6-month period. The 6-month extension of these emergency amendments to ONGO were requested to provide additional time for the LOC to process the adoption of permanent amendments. So the emergency amendments to ONGO will now expire on May 12, 2022. So the LOC has been processing the permanent adoption of amendments to ONGO. So since this item was added to the active files list, the LOC has held 17 work meetings, some of which were held in collaboration with representatives from the Oneida Law Office, the Oneida Police Department, the Internal Security Department, the Oneida Gaming Commission, Gaming Management, and the Oneida Police Commission. So the proposed amendments to ONGO will remove the Security Department from under the supervision of the Oneida Police Department. Previously, Section 501.9-1 of ONGO provided that the Gaming Security Department is a department within the Oneida Police Department. So the proposed amendment to Section 501.9-1 of ONGO will remove the statement that the Gaming Security Department is a department within the Oneida Police Department. Although ONGO will no longer provide that the Security Department is a department within the Oneida Police Department, with respect to the Oneida Police Department, ONGO will now provide that when investigations involve or uncover a possible criminal or quasi-criminal activity, the Gaming Security Department shall report the activity to the Oneida Police Department for further review and investigation by the Oneida Police Department under its separate departmental authority. So the requirement that all reports of the Gaming Security Department must be copied to the Oneida Gaming Commission, previously found in Section 501.9-1, was removed from ONGO due to concerns raised by the police department regarding confidentiality of ongoing investigations. So reference to the Oneida Police Department in Section 501.9-2 was also removed and replaced with the security director in regard to the responsibility to collaborate with the gaming general manager and the Oneida Gaming Commission to enter into an agreement subject to ratification by the Business Committee describing their responsibilities and reporting requirements. So the proposed amendments will remove the legal risks associated with securities placement under the Oneida Police Department. So the emergency amendments previously made to ONGO through Resolution BC-51221T and BC-111021A provided that the Oneida Business Committee shall be responsible for the supervision as well as the oversight of the Gaming Security Department, and that the Gaming Security Department shall report directly to the Business Committee per the process and schedule set by the Business Committee. So it's the intent of the LOC that the adopting resolution for these proposed amendments will include a provision that the Oneida Business Committee remain as the body responsible for the supervision and oversight of the Security Department until such a time as the Oneida Nation Law Enforcement Ordinance can be amended to expand and transition the Oneida Police Commission to a Public Safety Commission, which will oversee the Security Department along with the Oneida Police Department, the Conservation Wardens, and any other safety-focused department in the future. So additional non-material drafting and formatting changes have been made throughout the law to update the language and drafting style in ONGO to be consistent with the nation's current drafting practices. On March 16, 2022, the LOC approved the draft in the legislative analysis of the amendments to ONGO and directed that a public comment period be held open for the proposed amendments until April 13, 2022. So starting on page 134, you'll find a redline draft of the proposed amendments to ONGO that demonstrate the changes from the last permanent version of the law. Typically, the Legislative Procedures Act requires the LOC hold a public meeting where people can come in person and provide comments on the proposed legislation or ask questions, and then hold open a public comment period for an additional 5 business days where an individual can submit written comments or questions. Now, because of COVID-19 and the nation's public health state of emergency, we were unable to safely hold an in-person meeting. The Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC-12821B, updating public gathering guidelines during the public health state of emergency COVID-19, prohibited indoor public meetings from occurring unless certain conditions were met. And at the time that the public comment period was set for the proposed amendments to this law, we had not yet met those thresholds. So although a public meeting was not held on the proposed ONGO amendments, a public comment period was still held open until April 13th. On page 20 of your packet, you'll see the public comment review memo. This document serves as a tool for the LOC to use when they review and consider the public comments that were received as required by the Legislative Procedures Act. So if you look at the memo, it's organized by topic. Immediately after the comment divider in bold, you'll see any relevant excerpt from the law. That's followed by the verbatim comment received, including the specifics of who made the comment and whether it was oral or written. Next, you'll see the response section, which is my attorney response to the LOC. So here's where I provide the LOC and the reader any relevant background information on the motivation or purpose of the law, any in-depth explanation of the provision of the law, and any potential options for how to consider the comment. So the last section under every comment is the LOC consideration. So the section's currently blank, but it will be filled in with the LOC's discussion and decision on how to address each comment. So the LOC will be going through and reviewing and considering each comment, and when they make their decisions, the LOC consideration section of this document will be filled in, and then the completed memo will be placed on another LOC meeting agenda. So after the memo on page 24, you'll find a copy of the submitted written comments that were included in the memo. Then on page 25, you'll find a redline draft of the proposed amendments that were available during the public comment period. So today I'm asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to accept the public comments and the public comment review memo and defer to a work meeting for further consideration.
So moved. Second.
Motion is made by Marie, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carried. Moving on to the Children's Code Amendments. Clarissa?
This item starts on page 53 of your packet. So the request for amendments to the Children's Code first came to the LOC from the Indian Child Welfare Department on August 25th, 2020, for the purpose of addressing customary adoption. So the LOC added the Children's Code amendments to its active files list on October 7th, 2020. So since then, the LOC has held 7 work meetings and collaborated with the nation's Indian Child Welfare Department, the Oneida Law Office, and the Oneida Family Court on the development of the amendments to the Children's Code. So the Children's Code provides for the welfare, care, and protection of Oneida children through the preservation of the family unit, while recognizing that in some circumstances, it may be in the child's best interest to not be reunited with his or her family. Furthermore, this law strengthens family life by assisting parents in fulfilling their responsibilities, as well as facilitating the return of Oneida children to the jurisdiction of the nation and acknowledging the customs and traditions of the nation when raising an Oneida child. So it's the policy of the nation to ensure there is a standard process for conducting judicial proceedings and other procedures in which children and all other interested parties are provided fair hearings, in addition to ensuring their legal rights are recognized and enforced while protecting the public safety. So we now have an initial draft of the proposed amendments to the children co-developed. On page 56 of your packet, you'll find the redline draft, which demonstrates all the proposed revisions to the children's code. This is followed by a clean draft on page 102 of the packet. So the proposed amendments to the children's code will clarify that any orders made by the court under this law or any orders made by a court of competent jurisdiction regarding child welfare matters shall supersede any other order made by this court or a court of competent jurisdiction regarding custody or placement of a child. It will update and clarify the notice requirements throughout the law. It allows the court to order the department to refer the matter to the United Nations Child Support Agency to adjudicate paternity, while also ordering the department to be able to sign documents on behalf of the child for the purpose of a paternity action. The amendments to the law will provide that the department may make an ex parte request to the court to prevent the release of records regarding the child if the department believes that the release of records may result in a risk of harm to the child, in which the court shall then review the records in camera in order to decide whether to order the records released. It allows for a child to be held in custody in a hospital or other medical or mental health facility. It allows the department to request placement of a child outside of the child's home at the plea hearing. The amendments allow the department to withhold the placement provider's identifying information from the child's parent, guardian, or legal custodian in the permanency plan if there are reasonable grounds that believe that the disclosure would result in imminent danger to the child or anyone else. It allows for the suspension of parental rights in addition to the termination of the parental rights. And the amendments clarify that adoptions under this law shall take the form of customary adoptions when the court has granted a petition to suspend parental rights, and that adoption shall be closed when the court grants permission or petition to terminate parental rights. The amendments also allow the department to contract with a third-party agency to conduct adoption investigations, and it makes other minor drafting changes throughout the law. So now that we have an initial draft of the proposed amendments to the Children's Code complete, I am now looking for the LLC to consider adopting a motion to approve the draft of the Children's Code amendments and direct that a legislative analysis be developed.
So move.
Motion been made by Marie, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:18.
So move.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Danielle. Thank you, everyone. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you.